So here's one other little cool thing that's happening in our church's life is that I think the date was actually Wednesday, if we went by the date. 25 years ago, Discovery Community Church launched public services. And so, yeah. And it was actually on Easter Sunday 25 years ago. So a little over a week ago on Easter, we celebrated that that Discovery has been doing church in a public way for 25 years. And so we actually started before that in a small group. And so what we decided to do, we have a team of people that have been working behind the scenes to gather some stories. And over the next several months, you're going to get a chance to hear some of the stories from people who've been a part of the journey along the way. And then in the summertime, on July 26th, we're going to have a special celebration of really all that God has done and kind of do a party on July 26th. But each and every Sunday, we're going to get to hear some stories. And so what I'd like to ask you to do is just turn your attention to the screen. And there on the screen, you're going to hear a little of the story. And then we're going to go back into worship, and we're going to take a few minutes to be in God's Word. And that's going to be sort of our day. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Okay. So let's turn your attention to the screen.
My name is Mandy Milnes, and I've been attending Discovery since January of 2003, I believe. What brought me to Discovery? I was invited by a friend. At that point in my life, faith hadn't been a huge part of my life, but my husband died unexpectedly, and so life was upside down. And so we were invited, and we came and never left. I've involved several serving capacities over the years and on staff for many years. Involved in office, finance, communications, hospitality, event planning. Have not ever served on the worship team, although I'm hoping one day Tracy's going to give me a tambourine. Fun stories. Well, there was that one time that crazy couple got married on a church rafting trip. That was fun. Announced to me, it was a surprise. Trey proposed. I think it was a Friday night. I don't actually even know. One night on the church rafting trip, and John married us on the beach the next morning. Half of the attendees were in wetsuits because they were leaving to go rafting like in 10 minutes. Yeah, there was about four or five people that knew. It's still actually a hot topic around our family because he got himself in some trouble with my sisters and my mom, because they didn't know. But they drove through the night to be there. Yeah, it was lovely. You know, it would almost be easier for me to describe how Discovery hasn't been a part of our lives. Really, every part of who I am today, I think, is a result of the impact of Discovery, just the love and support, allowing me to be my authentic self. And that was at times very, very messy. But experiencing just the love and acceptance of Christ in this space has been everything to me.
You know, what we just saw there was someone telling their story. And God has given each of us a story. He's still writing that story. And what if I told you that your story is a secret weapon that you can use to share the gospel with someone? That God has given us what's called a testimony. And again, he's still writing that story. Will you stand and worship with us? Father, we thank you that you are writing our story. And that in your Son, Jesus Christ, we, those of us who are in your arms, we win. No matter what's happening today, that our testimony brings you glory. It points back to you. Thank you, God. Amen. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come on. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah. Not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Testimony. Praise your name, God. Father, I thank you that you are a good Father, that we can run to in the darkest of our times, in the great moments, in our loneliness, in our doubts, in our fears, that you're there. Thank you for the gift of grace that's renewed each day. No matter how many times we mess up, you tell us to rise, try again. Thank you, God. I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I was wasn't created to bury it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. And I see it now, I'm laying it down, and I know that I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. And again. Oh, oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. Oh, and I don't have the context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh, again and again and again and again. Has been in your sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling. Just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. So I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again.
Seated for a minute. One of the things that we do here at Discoveries, we carve out a few minutes to pray. So I want to invite you just to bow for a moment. It is not God's heartbeat or intent this morning to A, be distant. Sometimes that is our intent. Because God's nearness is as comforting as it is sometimes is also disruptive. And we can be in the habit of just busying ourselves and scurrying frantically in such a way to keep God distant. And then wouldn't you know it, when the scurrying and the busyness erodes, sometimes we find ourselves in those moments where then we're begging for the nearness of God and we can't seem to find Him. It is not God's intent this morning to be distant. Father, my prayer is for us as we continue to walk through this moment of worship, that You would soften some places in our lives that have become hard. I recognize this morning as I pray that for some of us, that hardness felt necessary as a way to protect. Some of us have been through some hard seasons and hard moments and hard days, and we just muscled through. But that hardness sticks, and cynicism begins to cover the soul. And so I'm praying this morning over these next few moments that there would be a softening in some hard places in our lives. Some of us in this room this morning, we're not hard. We feel quite broken and tender. And I ask that in these moments, that for that tender and broken heart and soul, that You would speak, that you would support, that there would just be a real experience this morning of Your presence. In the end, Father, may we walk out of this place knowing that we have met with You. And even more, may our lives, like heart, mind, soul, and body, may it be more in step with You and Your mission. There is no other way that we want to live. So whatever is necessary, a softening or a caring, Father, would You align us with You this morning. Jesus, we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thanks for being here this morning. Grateful that you have carved out some time with us. Hey, Joe, good to see you. So I'm glad that you're here. I'm encouraging you to do a couple things. One, take some notes this morning. We're going to be walking through Scripture. I think some of the things we're talking about today, I'll be honest, we're gonna spend, I don't know, 30, 35 minutes. I always plan for 25, it's usually 40. So anyway, we're going to spend some time together. And God's going to speak to you if you're open and receptive. There's going to be some things that you need to hear this morning. Now, I didn't know that. I haven't been, sneaking around your place. God just speaks when we open His Word. He does it every time. Amen? So a couple of you felt it and seen it. I mean, you just, God has something in store for, I mean it, he's got something in store for you this morning. So I encourage you to take some notes. You can do it inside that worship folder. There's one piece of paper that's blank. That's meant for you to take some notes. And then you can also use your phone. We have, we also use the YouVersion app. We put our notes up on that app. I think there's some instructions there on how to access our notes on the app on YouVersion. So I'd encourage you to do that as well. Let's see, I need a few things. Okay. We have been walking together through the book of 2 Corinthians, and so that's what we do here, by the way. We walk through books in the Bible, and a lot of times when we walk through a book in the Bible, we walk through it sequentially. You know, we'll go chapter by chapter. In the book of 2 Corinthians, we've been walking through it thematically, and we've done this for a few months. We took a little detour right before Easter and to talk about who Jesus is. And so we right now are going to wrap up the book of 2 Corinthians, and I think you're going to really be blessed by it. By the way, if you're keeping track, you're interested, in a few weeks we're going to start walking through the book of Hebrews. We're going to do that for, I don't know, maybe 8 weeks, and then this summer we're going to walk through the book of 1 Samuel. And so that's kind of what we're going to do over the next probably 6 months. If some of you like to know where you're going, some of you like to just be along for the ride, and who knows, right? Anybody like to have a plan? Some of you, you don't want to plan, right? Most of us like to know where we're going. So if you have a Bible, let's just jump in. I want to have you read with me 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 9 this morning. And we're going to read verses 12 through 15. And you got it? We're almost there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 15. It says, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else, and in their prayer for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." So our series is called Work. Do we have that up there? Anybody see that work? Did you see that earlier? It's gone now, but work. Some of you are like, dang it, why? I've been trying to avoid that all weekend. Is it back? Is anybody shaking a little bit? So it's we're here, we're talking a little bit about that thing that we don't like to talk about. They say 90,000 followed with four zeros, 90,000 hours the average American will spend at work in their lifetime. If you count the 11,000, I'm going to say that, 11,000 hours the average American spends commuting. That's painful. That's over 100,000 hours of your life and mine we spend at work, and oddly, we don't want to talk about it. We struggle with it. Now, for myself, I've worked in lots of different capacities in my life. I've worked for large companies and small companies. I've worked for the government. I've worked for myself. I've worked outside. I've worked inside. I've worked behind the desk. I think I might even worked on top of desk once or twice. I've worked, like you, during the night. I've worked during the day. I have been a union member, and I've also been on the other side, the dark side, some of them called it. I've worked for very, very little throughout my life, and in fact, there's been many times I've even worked for free. Anybody say amen? I've worked for nonprofits, and I've worked for profits, and I've even officially, in much of my life, the vast majority of my wife, I worked for my wife. That wasn't in the notes, it just slipped in there. Much of my life, I've worked for God. And a really interesting thing about work life and all the different places I've worked in my life is I have found a ton of people who are just resolved to work. I have found even more people that just put up with work. And I have found even more people that absolutely hate it. I have found very, very, very few people in my life who seem to love those 100,000 hours that they spend in their lifetime. Embracing and walking through and engaging in what I call the gift of work. Not a one of you wrote that phrase down. I'm looking. I want you to write that phrase down this morning and maybe grin and bear it for just a minute. But the gift of work. Now listen, not all of us in the room work the same kind of jobs in the same kind of way for the same kind of money. Some of us in this room, when it comes to the subject of work, it's painful because we are struggling to find work, or we are underemployed, or we're working in a place that's difficult and we're underappreciated and undervalued. Some of us, when it comes to the subject of work, it's hard because the work we do, the most important work that we do, is work that doesn't come with a paycheck. And it's difficult to talk about work. And so one of the things that we're not going to do this morning is we're not going to be trite, and we're not going to have easy answers. We're not going to ignore some of the complexities of work. The reality is work is hard. Amen? Work is difficult. Work is exhausting. It takes a lot from you. And work, the subject of work, is complex. But I also want to challenge you. Far too many of us are just enduring. Far too many of us are just longing for and waiting for that day when we no longer have to endure and work. And I want to change that. Because I believe in my heart, and I believe it's all through Scripture, that work is a gift. It's a gift from God to you, and it's a gift from God to the world around you. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is talking about. I want to read it again. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. The work that you do, paid or unpaid, valued by others or undervalued by others, is a gift from God to you and to the world around you. God's intent for work is it to be a gift. Some of you might remember there's a thing in the Bible called the Ten. What is it called? The Ten? The Ten Commandments. There is a Ten Plagues, but yes. We don't want to encourage Jason. You guys are not. It was together. Okay, thank you. Thanks for. Russell used to be a good man. And he was near you, just like that, Jason. Okay. The thing called the Ten what? Tucked right in the Ten Commandments. Let's read this together. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We all like to stop there. That's not the end of the commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It's actually a command and invitation from God for you and I to engage in work. The biggest problem with work today is not its existence. Let me say that again because nobody's with me, okay? The biggest problem with work today is not its existence. It's not its poor pay. It's not my struggle to advance. The biggest problem with work today is the lack of clarity about my mission when I'm at work. That's the biggest problem with work today. The lack of clarity about my mission, God's unique mission for me during the 9 to 5. Harvard recently put a study out that found the interesting engagement between mission and health. They found that among a group of nearly 7,000 adults over the age of 50, those who scored highest on a scale that measured, quote, life purpose, were less likely to die during their study. But I just want to pause there for a minute. Let me read it again. This is what they found. They found that men and women who had clarity with life purpose were less likely to die during their 4-year study period. Having purpose and mission for your life is necessary for you. And one of the reasons why work is so exhausting, one of the reasons why you and I have grown to hate it, is we refuse to find God's clear mission for us in our 9-to-5. You are designed by God for mission. You might remember when Jesus called his first disciples. He calls them and says, "Come, follow me." And a lot of times we just stop there and we think that was the, you know, end of Jesus' call. But Jesus' call in Mark chapter 1 was this: "Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." Jesus says, "Come, follow me, and I'm going to send you on mission." Not just acknowledge my existence. We have this weird thing with Jesus that we think God just wants us to acknowledge him. "God, I believe you're there. Thank you. That's all I needed." That's not what God's heartbeat for you is. He's not interested in you simply acknowledging his existence. He's inviting you to surrender every corner of your life to him. The New Testament records that the early disciples, when they heard Jesus' call, they pulled their boats up on the shore and, quote, left everything and followed him. Jesus used language like this when he said, "Come follow me." He said, "If you follow me, you need to pick up your," anybody remember? "Your cross daily and follow me." Anybody who wants to follow me, he says, needs to lay down their life and follow me. Jesus is inviting you into a life of freedom by surrendering every corner of your life to him. Amen? And that means, that certainly means your bad habits. And it certainly means surrendering your sins, and it certainly means surrendering your weekends, and it also means surrendering your 9-to-5 to him. Jesus doesn't want to be your weekend mistress. He wants every corner of your life, including 100,000 hours you spend at work in your lifetime. Now you say this morning, "That's easy for you, Pastor. You're around Jesus people all the time, but not me. I work in a hard place. I got a mean boss. I got numbers I've got to hit." We're not supposed to talk about religion and politics at where I work. We're not supposed to do this and that. I just want you to know, by the way, everybody says that. If you're feeling like pressed in it, you feel like it's difficult to live mission at work, I just want you to know you're not alone. Everybody struggles with it. So this morning, without being trite and overly simple, I do want to talk about how does a person in 2026 inject mission back into a place that has felt void of it. And I'm going to share with you 4 principles on how to get mission back in your 9-to-5. Number one, it starts with prayer. In the book of 2 Chronicles, some of you know this well. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," and you guys see it up here? Humble themselves, and everybody? What? "And pray." If, that's an interesting way it starts, right? Like God's like, if I could just get them to do this. "If my people who are called by my name would just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." Look at the next verse. "Then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." God says, "I want to do something amazing this week. I want there to be breakthrough this week. I'm actually not far away from your school, your business, your office. I'm not far away from your clients. I am wanting to do something. I am waiting for you to pray." often considered the father of modern missions, William Carey. Born in the 18th century and lived most of his life in ministry in the early 19th century, William Carey was considered the father of modern missions. God used this simple man to launch a movement that would transform our world. Interestingly enough, he wouldn't be a guy any of us would have picked. William Carey wasn't a well-known person. He wasn't even well-heeled. He had very few resources. Most of his life, he lived in abject poverty. He became a Jesus follower as a young adult. And his only way to feed his family was to repair shoes. How would you like that job? At his bench every day, he sat and he repaired and built and made shoes. He was a cobbler. It's how he fed his family. William Carey would later say in his life, I'm going to read you this little quote from him. He said, my real business is to preach the gospel and to win lost souls. He said, I cobble shoes to pay the expenses. William Carey in the dark, not famous, small, insignificant, poor man working at his cobbler bench, did something really interesting. He made a leather map of the world. The same material that he worked with every day to make shoes, he made a leather map of the world and he placed it above the bench where he made shoes. And while he was making shoes to feed his family, he began praying every day for the world. And one day he had a crazy idea. He said to a handful of friends, what if God would use us to touch the world? And so he began to cobble some of his meager his little bit of money, and he put it together with some of his friends, and they formed a little nonprofit, and they said, we want to pray that God would use this little nonprofit to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And they began praying for India. William Carey, an unknown poor man, one day came to his friends and said, I found a doctor who will go to India as our first missionary. Here he is. And this little group of friends prayed, and they said, you know what? We don't want to send the doctor. We want to send you. And it changed the world. Why? Because a man prayed every day before work, during work, and after work. Here's my question for you this morning. Are you praying for the primary mission field that God has placed in your life? Your class, your clients, your office, your place of work. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you pray, go in your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in heaven, and then your Father who sees what is done in secret will absolutely reward you. James chapter 5 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God wants to do something this week in the most significant mission field, your place of work. You want to change? You want to inject some mission back into your life? Number one, pray. Number two, change the posture. Your posture with work. Earlier in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this. He says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him. Where does it say? Everywhere. The next verse, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Do you know what you are? You are the aroma of Christ. God handpicked you for this day and this hour, for your neighborhood, your home, your circle. You're not just showing up Monday because you have to, or because there are expectations, or because you'll get fired because you can't pay the bills. You're showing up on mission with God. You are the aroma of Christ. Walk in tomorrow like that, and things begin to change. Amen? Amen. Walk in with an expectation that God's actually doing something. That's why I like James chapter 1. James says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everybody should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become," what was the word? Angry. Man, way too many of us, we're already angry right now talking about work. You're already thinking about what needs to be taken care of tomorrow. In fact, you've got some heads that need to roll. You got people that you got, they need a piece of your mind. We got stuff. We got a battle between us and them. And what if you change that posture? What if instead of walking in with resentment, what if instead of just walking in with like, "I just need to get back to my lazy boy"? What if you walked in tomorrow with, "I am the aroma of Christ. I am the fragrance of Jesus to spread the knowledge of him." Where was the word? What was the word, you guys remember? Everywhere, even here. The third thing, principle that we bring to work to inject mission is presence. When Paul's writing about the aroma of Christ, he's certainly talking about the presence of Jesus. But God wants the people in your life to experience the presence of Jesus by your presence with them. That's why in John chapter 13, in the last few moments of Jesus' life with his disciples, he gathers them and he says, "A new command I give you." You guys remember this in John 13? "A new command I give you. Love," what's it say? Who's the one another there? Yeah, I mean, first, the easy one is this. Certainly when Jesus said love one another, he was talking about the other guys in the room at that minute. He's like, "Hey, Peter, I want you to love John. John, I want you to love James." So he certainly meant those guys, but he didn't mean just those guys. Who is the one another? Everybody. In fact, he goes on, he says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, if you bring the presence of Christ." Ephesians 5:2, this is one to write down. Some of you, I would encourage you to write down, put it on a card, and it should sit somewhere in your office or your truck or your classroom. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says this, "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." In Ephesians, Paul's connecting it. He's like, God has given his son Jesus as a fragrant offering to us so that you could be a fragrant offering. How are we a fragrant offering? How are we the aroma of Christ? By being Christ's presence with real live human beings, loving them the way that God has loved us. Oh, man. Listen, if I took a poll right now, I think most of us would say that the culture in our place of work sucks. Should I say sucks? Sorry. Dang it, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. Most of us would say the culture at our place of work is less than ideal. But how does the culture change? Us. One man, one woman, who says, "I'm going to walk today in the way of love," changes teams, changes classrooms, changes neighbors, changes cultures. Injecting mission back into the 9-to-5 requires us committing to bring the presence of Christ. 1 Peter 4:8, here's another one to write down and just keep with you all week long. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply because," can we read this together? "Love covers a multitude of sins." There's such power in living as a man or woman of love. It's so deeply transformative. And last, number four, last way to inject mission back into my workplace is to profess. Here's the promise from God. I know when we talk about this subject occasionally, people say, I won't, it's not okay here. I don't get to be on mission. I don't get to talk about this. I'm like, well, yeah, not the way you are thinking. But here's the deal. If you're praying every day, like covering your team, covering your family, covering your neighborhood, covering your classroom with prayer, if you're praying every day, like William Carey, and you're putting up the map of the world, and you're praying over it every day, and you're walking into your day with a posture of curiosity of the work of God. Wow, it is amazing that I am part of God's triumphal procession. I am the aroma of Christ to bring the knowledge of Him everywhere. And I'm committed to walk in love every day. Something's going to happen. Hearts are going to be stirred. There's going to be a crisis or a moment. Someone's going to pull you aside and say, could you pray for me? I think that you're a praying person. They'll do it in private. They'll do it in the hallway. They'll do it in the corner. They'll send you a little message and say, would you pray for me? And then you're going to say back, absolutely. Do you need anything else? And they'll say no. But then there'll be another day. And they'll say, thank you so much for praying. Do you have time for a cup of coffee? And you're going to say, absolutely. And 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this man, I interjected man in there, but do this man with gentleness and respect. If you bring Jesus to work and you're living out His presence, I'm telling you, there's going to be a moment, there's going to be a day, and someone's going to ask. And with gentleness and respect, you're going to say, hey, I've never walked exactly in your shoes. I'm not going to offer you any simple, easy answers. But I want you to know something. Jesus changed my life. There was a day when I invited Jesus into my life, and what it meant was I said, God, I'm far away from you. I believe that your son Jesus is the one and only Son of God. And I prayed that, and He came in, and it has changed everything in my life. I'm telling you that there's going to be a moment if you inject mission back into the workplace that God is going to bring great transformation in the lives of people. That's what God does. Jesus, in His final words to His disciples in Acts chapter 1, He says, you will receive power. He didn't say maybe. He didn't say some of you. He didn't say if you play your cards right. He simply said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When you invite Jesus into your life, you receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit, and you become a powerful man, a powerful woman. You are the walking aroma of Christ for the purpose of men and women everywhere experiencing the knowledge of Jesus. That's what He's doing in your life. He says, you will be my witnesses. You're going to do so in Jerusalem, right where you live. You're going to do it in Judea, in the world around you. You're going to do it in Samaria, on the other side of the tracks. You're going to be witnesses to the very ends of the earth. That's God's mission for you. Not on the weekends. Not during your small group. But that's God's mission for you each and every hour of your life. I'm going to encourage you this morning to you know, we talked through some different things. And I'm trusting that one of those things that we talked about was something that you needed to hear this morning. And I'm going to ask you to just to take a minute and talk to God. Maybe it is about your posture. Maybe is it about this reluctance that you have to bring the presence of God by being present with people. Maybe it's prayer. And this is just a part of your life that you've separated out and you've just refused to surrender over to God. And maybe that's the beginning point today. Let me encourage you to take a moment and respond to whatever it is that God is calling for you to do. If you would bow with me. As Sarah plays, I want you just to talk to God. Respond in whatever way you need to. Book of Colossians, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, working for the Lord, not for human masters. Father, this morning, we have been reminded that you have designed us for mission. The mission begins, I mean, the heart of it, the foundation of it is a life that is surrendered to your son, Jesus. And then it's living that out. Father, I know that for many of us, this moment's inspiring, it's encouraging, and it's also challenging. Father, I'm asking in this place that you would fan mission. Like in this room, there are missionaries, men and women that you have handpicked and you've called. For classrooms and for kitchens, for boardrooms. For neighborhoods. You have called us to mission. And I'm asking that you fan that mission back into flame. Today we're going to leave resentment. We're going to leave fear. We're going to leave disappointment behind. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that whatever you give us, that we seize those moments and we surrender them back to you in Jesus' name. In his name we pray.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for your family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for your family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold.
in just a moment, we are going to be, you know, as part of our worship service, this we call giving back to God. We do it at the end, and that can feel like, oh, it's just a little thing we got to get done before we leave. It really is meant to be part of a life of worship. And but it's complicated. You know, like it's complicated to talk about work. We're all in different places when it comes to work. And when it comes to money, money sometimes has made things really difficult in churches and communities. It's sometimes abused and misused. And sometimes when a basket goes by, it can feel alienating, like I don't have anything to give. And so one of the things that we say a lot around here is, if you're a guest with us, we ask you not to put any dollars in there. This really isn't about dollars, and it's not measuring what people have and don't have. It's an opportunity to give back. One of the ways that you and I can give back is by serving and being a part of this community of faith, and there's lots of ways to do that. One of the reasons why we ask you to put a connection card on there, it's a way to give back. We do want prayer requests, and we want to know what's in your world, but we also want it to be a way for you to get connected in community. So before I'm asking them to come today, I just want to take a minute and say, this is a big part of our worship service. It's a way that we worship. And I also want to say about dollars, you know, we live in a day and time, and we serve a community that there's lots of needs, and this church is actively trying to engage in the lives of people, and there are some significant needs in our church body right now. We have people that are struggling with work, and the work that they have not being enough. Gosh, you guys know, like, anybody fill your tank up with gas? Listen, the other day I pulled up to get some gas, and I don't know why, but some Yahoo in a Tesla pulled up right next to me and just parked. And I thought, what is that person doing? Are they rubbing it in my face? And I love people that drive cars that you plug in. But my car doesn't plug in. And so it's been, anybody extra painful going to the gas station lately? Anybody? Some of us don't get to say amen. Okay, but the rest of us, right? So anybody? Or how about buying milk? Amen? And like nobody seems to understand that money's tight and the landlord raises the rent, okay? So I just want you to know there are significant needs in our body right now. There are people that are struggling to stay in their place. And there are people that are struggling to keep food on the table. And so I want to just take a moment and say this moment of giving back to God is a really important part of worship, but I also want you to know it makes a difference. You know, your church right now is helping some people in some very, very tangible ways. And we're able to do that because of your sacrifice. And if God has put you in a place right now where, gosh, I don't know that anybody has extra, but if you're in a place where you want to leverage some things that God has given in a way that's going to really help some people, your church is a great place to give toward. And that's why there's a sharing table right around the corner. And there are people in our community that need those things. So anyway, I don't want to belabor this. I just want to say, let's let this be a moment of worship. Are we going to sing another song, or is that it? Can we sing another closer? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you have the ability. You drive a Tesla. Keep his mic off for just a minute, okay? Just keep his mic off for a minute. Okay, so here's what we're going to do is play some music, and we're going to pass the baskets. And again, please, my friends, dollars are, God's not dependent on dollars, and this church is not begging that for you. I'm promising you that our God has got enough. Amen? And so I'm so glad that you're here. If you can drop your connection card in, but if you also want to be a part of giving back, please do that. We're going to play some music, and then we're going to sing a song. And then after the service, we got some cool things, right? We have a training going on that's going to happen in a little bit down the hall if you would like to be part of kids ministry training. We have coffee. We have some donuts. And remember, In a couple of weeks, we're going to do baptisms, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. If you've been thinking about baptism, we'd love for you to join us with that. Okay. There you go.
Let's sing a song.
Thanks, friend.
Yeah. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Yes, I do. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Yeah, my praise belongs to you forever. Come on. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Come on, everybody. Come together, sons and daughters, bought with blood and washed in water. Sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yeah, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. Oh, I'm alive. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story. I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. My testimony.
Have a fantastic week. Go be salt and light in this world. They need you out there. Have a good one.